So welcome to this week's Torah portion, Truma. And Truma is translated as offering. God tells Moses to say to the children of Israel, "Bring me gifts from every person whose heart is so moved." And building on what I said about my grandchild, each one of you is such a gift to me, right? That we can sit this way together, that we have each other in this way. It's amazing. It's a gift. So the root of the word truma is to separate, to elevate, and some translate it as designated for a higher purpose. The people's contributions to the Mishkan are not only a means to an end, but rather a path of mindfulness. What if we were to offer up each thing perceived within us and around us as a truma, an offering elevated by awareness? I think that it may be true that when awareness is present, it's not my awareness, but it's the presence, the Holy One of being. So the Israelites respond to this request for offering. They give abundantly, a dazzling array of giving: gold, silver, copper, purple, crimson, fine linen, goat's hair. Tanned ram skins, dolphin skins, ooh, that hurts. Acacia wood, oil, spices for aromatic incense. How do they find these things in the desert? It sounds to me sometimes like a fairy tale. They must be schlepping these things on their long journey across the desert to who knows where. And the list is so sensual. Every one of our senses are awakened. Even just saying the words produce a kind of awe and joy, just like lapis lazuli. I love that. God says, "Let them make me a sanctuary where I may dwell in them, not in it, but in them." Your gift to God is to awaken to God's presence within each of you. God says, "Make me a sanctuary so I may dwell in each person's heart." The lavish external structure consists of so many shapes, colors, functions. In essence, they demarcate sacred space within its walls and within our heart, mind, body. Chapter upon chapter follows with intricate details of how to construct that empty space for God to fill in each person's being, which is happening whether we are aware of it or not. When we do become conscious of awareness, it's no longer our personal awareness, but rather moments of boundlessness. So this calls out to me as a practice instruction. What would life be like if we could greet all that arises within us as a truma, a gift of awakening, an offering to the one who breathes us into being? Now a moment of open-hearted concentration, next a deep entanglement with an elaborate story. Maybe next comes heartbreak, followed by, "Hey, what's for lunch?" So in our practice, we pay mindful attention without trying to alter anything. We attend to detail after detail of the mind, heart, body offerings. Mindful attention elevates each thing All that arises into consciousness has the possibility of turning into truma, an offering, a gift, instead of a burden, eye rolling, and figuring out the, for me, I can see this continual figuring out how to improve my meditation, how to have a better offering, how, yeah. So each detail of our perception contributes to the creation of a mishkan, an opening of the heart where the divine can dwell within, which is always dwelling there anyway, but shadowed by our reactive conditioning. Exodus 25:10, God says, "Do exactly as I show you." And it's kind of like we're little babies with no idea of what we're being born into. Exactly as I show you. This includes the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, notwithstanding the patterns of our own lives. It's the divine flow that will specify each dimension and placement within the structure. So, as we sit with what God is showing us in this body, heart, mind, how much do we ignore or reject or want more of or less? So, in our practice, we pay mindful attention to our preferences within this flow of a river of details. Detail after detail of this human mind, heart, body, without trying to alter anything. Mindful attention elevates each thing that arises in our consciousness and makes it a truma, an offering, a detail that contributes to the whole of creation, a detail that opens into a mishkan, a sanctuary in which the divine can dwell in each of us. Our practice at Nishmat Chaim is to give a few words of guidance for the sit we are about to begin. Then we sit together in silence, like 36 to 40 minutes or so. And after the silent sit, we have this 5-minute silent walking practice. Then one of the teachers gives a teaching. And afterwards, when we open it up to your comments, you lavish your appreciation on the teaching. And it makes me smile for two reasons. One is, yes, I do love praise. Sorry about that. But the second is that I know that the teaching can sound good because of the chant, the silent sit, the silent walk that we've just completed together before the talk, so that our body, heart, mind is open to receive. You can especially notice this on meditation retreats when you're sitting day after day, that the nuances and meanings and sounds of each person's teaching and words gets deeper and deeper, not because they're changing, but because of our experience, the trans in transformative silence. So, in that way, our body, heart, mind is open to receive. We see gifts that that are a part of the flow of life through our attention to details unfolding in our own individual meditation. We connect with each other in a deep and miraculous way. We share with each other, whether in silence or words or song, the impossibility and the awe of being human, in connection to that which is creating us. And just like our parsha, we too witness so many different thoughts with all their intricate details. But towards what purpose? The Torah says, place the cover on top of the ark. Deposit inside the ark the pact that I will give you. There I will meet you. And I will impart to you from above the cover, between the two cherubim that are on top of the Ark of the Pact, all that I will command you, which I translate as all that I can connect you to, all that you can elevate that is hidden, just like the Ark of the Pact, so many layers of hiddenness to find that place where God says, I'm with you. So each existence, animate or inanimate, is one more truma for a holy, mobile sanctuary that together we construct with everyone else, all other life forms, and the minute details of this creation. The Torah goes on, chapter 25, verse 30, make bowls, make ladles, make jars, make jugs, and place each on the table for lechem panim, literally the bread of the faces, where Hebkal translates it as the bread of display. And it seems this display is before me always. And we feel it together when we sit. Our presence and intention to turn towards the unfolding of being inside us and surrounding us allows us to see the condition of the heart, which in any given moment, for any given reason, may be defended, defeated, inspired, or simply tired. Our lives unfold within a profound interconnection with all that is. All that is one of the many names for the divine. Our being is relational, whether we notice it or not. Perhaps an essence of our practice is waking up from the dream that is being constantly woven by our conditioned mind, heart, body, that makes us appear to be separate, solid beings, which we are, but also we are profoundly interconnected with all that is. But now, Truma asks us to go deeper. The details upon deep details that God hurls at the Israelites is asking them to pay close attention in a new way. These are people who have been avadim, slaves to Pharaoh, to Pharaoh's wildest dreams. Now they're doing avodah, the same root as the word for slaves, but avodah is work. They're engaged in the hard work of translating into everyday reality God's dazzling vision. They're engaged in they must work hard, yes, but now it's a joy to be in service to the divine flow. It's hard work, but exhilarating to connect with the beauty of it all, the earth, each other, and the one who fills and guides us through this intricately detailed project that we call life. God elaborates through Moshe the infinite details they must collect and build and shape and create in service to building a movable boundary space for boundlessness. The Mishkan has the same root as Shekhinah, the indwelling presence. They will carry this tent through the desert for years, and it will carry them into a new community, a new consciousness. There will be new ways to care for each other and for the earth. Just as our practice helps us see the world and each other in fresh, life-giving ways. When we bring kind attention to the ever-flowing details of our perception, our consciousness expands, our heart opens, whether to joy or sorrow, to steadiness or chaos, to calm or anxiety. There are new possibilities for caring for each other, simply by sitting here together, turning to watch the details upon details of this aliveness arising, abiding, and passing. In contrast to their usual complaining, the response to God's call to action is uncharacteristically positive, even exuberant. Yes, we'll build the Mishkan. Yes, we will effusively offer jewels, our skills, to build a space to connect with the divine spaciousness. Not limited to human-made mobile, to a human-made mobile holy tent. What they do outwardly will change their life inwardly and illuminate a deeper reality that as slaves they could not access. But wait, before they begin, they must stop. The first thing to do in building an indwelling presence is to not do, to Shabbat. So God, through Moshe, tells them, in order to build, the Israelites must first stop. The Torah teaches, don't just dive into the seemingly endless to-do list. Instead, first stop. To embark on an intense, laborious work, which is the Mishkan, but also life itself, you must make time to stop, which is one of the things that we're doing in our practice, right? When we gather. This defines well what we are doing here together each week. God says, for 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day, you shall have a complete rest. Literally, Kodesh Shabbat Shabbaton. Kodesh Shabbat Shabbaton. A holy, complete stopping. May our practice in our lives be a holy, complete stopping. Maybe we should rename our practice the holy, complete stopping. This is what we do, or not, rather, not do here. And God makes it quite clear, if you don't make space for this holy, complete stopping, you will die. Or we might say, if you don't make space for this holy, complete stopping, something inside dies. Some heart wisdom spaciousness is beyond reach. This not doing is elusive in my own meditation. I can often notice how I'm constantly doing something when I'm meditating, wanting to readjust my posture, wanting to relax the conditioned tightness in different parts of my body. Seeing problems to be solved in my life and the world, envisioning futures, wanting to be better at returning to breath, wanting to be kinder in the world. But as I awaken, the I, me, mine for a second dissolves into trying is like this, anxiety like this, failing to meet my own standards of meditating is like this. Many of us here have protracted experience with this heart-mind practice of sitting still in silence and not doing. For me, the fruits of the practice of stillness becomes amplified when I sit with you, when we convoke to not do together. We are Shabbating. In Torah, Shabbat is a verb. We Shabbat. The language of indigenous cultures like the Potawatomi or like Hebrew have more verbs than nouns. And in Hebrew, many nouns can easily convert into verbs. In Potawatomi, right now, we are Friday morning-ing. Everything is in process. Everything is in an interrelated flow. Everything that can be has potential to be a truma, an offering, a gift. Born out of a shift from I, me, mine to right here, right now, it's like this. Check it out. Finally, Moses announces to the people that God says, Take from among you gifts, truma, everyone whose heart so moves them, which in Hebrew is kol nadiv libo, each one's giving heart. Now the Israelites are ready to bring each one's gift of the heart. One commentary says, God does not wisdom of the heart. That stems from our work, our action. And I could add that our inaction while we sit. And so it seems to me that all social action and family and friendship stem from this ability to give the gift of our heart. We're moved to respond in ways that acknowledge and possibly address the needs of the other. Here at Nishmat Chaim, every breath we take with the intention to be present is a present, a gift of our hearts to each other, and possibly to the rest of creation in this moment. On a concrete level that is noticeable in the moments we sit together in silence, we can't hurt someone else. In those moments, our humanity joins with countless other beings, seen and unseen. The Israelites proceed to build the space for the indwelling presence of the divine, and they become effusively generous. First, they give concrete stuff, gold, silver, copper, fine linen of blue, purple, crimson, goat's hairs, tanned ram skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for anointing, aromatic incense, lapis lazuli. Wherever is precious, whatever is precious to them, they give. When we sit together, we give each other what is precious to us, our presence, our commitment to sit with sorrow and with joy, with boredom and with insight. Our intention is to strengthen our ability to bring compassion to whatever shows up. And this is the gift of our hearts, to create a space to be with the indwelling presence. Sitting together week by week, and for many of us here, year after year, these are kol nadiv lev, each one's gift of the heart, gifts of presence. And so, as the Israelites pour forth materials to beautify the outer walls of the Mishkan, there are new possibilities to beautify an inner space inside themselves and between themselves with each other. These sumptuous walls will surround the generosity, will surround the tent of the meeting. That is the empty space within all of this ritual splendor. With generosity and hard work, they'll get a taste of a new relationship with each other, with themselves, and with the formless one of being. And in the process, they are becoming a free people. Their service shifts from serving Pharaoh to serving the source of life itself. As our Rebbe Bob Dylan sang in his Christian period, you got to serve somebody. My friend Marilyn, I have to let you know, attended his bar mitzvah when they both grew up as neighbors in the iron mining town of Hibbing, Michigan. One step removed from greatness. God instructs Moshe to tell the Israelites to bring kol nadiv libo, each one's gifts of the heart, and turns it into a tidal wave of giving, an outpouring of exuberant generosity. Commentators say that it's as if they're making amends for the sacrilegious contributions to the golden calf. Now, dazzling stuff fills the emptiness full of everything, including the indwelling divine presence. They bring their free will offerings, boker ba boker, ba boker ba boker, morning after morning, until Moses cries, "Stop, no more." Now, instead of bringing stuff, they must now bring their skills to shape all this stuff into new forms. They become workers and weavers, choppers and sewers, artisans and craftspeople, The Torah frames their skills as God-given gifts. It stresses that each one of us is endowed with such skill essential to creating the whole of this life. Now, in this new skill phase, God calls them Kol Hacham Lev. Hacham is wise, Lev is heart. Each one is a wise-hearted person, which also means a skillful person. They are seen as having God-given skills to weave, chop, sew, hammer, paint, sculpt. So it reminds me of a phrase from the Buddhist canon, skillful means. Skillful means guides us to speak, give, create, interact in ways that deepen connection, that builds a mishkan of mindful community, full of respect for self and for other. So may we continue to learn to live together as Chacham Lev, as wise hearts. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.